This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 wishes to advise the following program, Hide and Seek, is a show intended for an adult audience. Generally, our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Sit back and enjoy the ride, and enjoy the ride, and enjoy the ride, and enjoy, 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 and enjoy. And enjoy the ride.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. In Exposé After Midnight, we have invited into Hide and Seek Andrew and Adam. Thank you very much for coming in to chat to us about your relationships, gentlemen. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Hi, Dean.
Hi.
Let's start with you, Andrew. You're 52 years old.
Yep.
Where did you grow up?
Basically, I was born in Wellington in New Zealand. Spent most of my life there.
I'm sorry. No, that's okay.
And moved to Australia in 1980. So a long time ago. And actually moved to Canberra, of all places. So out of the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. And I think
nobody
I spent probably in the 2 years I was in Canberra, I did something. I probably spent most of my time actually out of Canberra, as in going to Sydney as many times as I possibly could.
Socially.
To get out of the place.
Right, okay. Adam, what about you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Adelaide. It's an awful city, so I moved to Sydney. And then
at what age did you move to Sydney?
I was a bit older than what I wanted to be when I moved. I was 25-ish.
Okay. And you had your eye on Sydney for a long time?
Yes, because when you grow up in the smallest city in Australia, you want to go to the other extreme.
I guess so. What was growing up in Adelaide like for you?
Awful.
Why?
Because it's a hole. There's not really much of a scene. There's one tragic bar and a sort of optional place that keeps opening up and shutting down. I just didn't get along with people there and they didn't get along with me.
And your move to Sydney was an eye-opener, and what happened there?
It was great. Found a great place to work, met a great new group of people. It was very, 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 very expensive though, from living in little Adelaide to Sydney.
For sure, for sure. Andrew, tell me about you growing up in Wellington in New Zealand.
There's not a lot to really tell you.
Oh, come on. It was at least 20 years of your life that you were growing up.
Yeah. Anyway, where to start? I mean, Wellington was sort of a very small place. And I was probably, before I moved to Australia, I sort of went through the usual thing of trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted and whether I was gay, straight, or who knows what. And I did a bit of experimenting and found like the only gay venue in Wellington, if you like, back in the 70s. And then
I'm surprised they had a gay venue.
Sorry?
I'm surprised Wellington had a gay venue.
Oh, they did.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And actually it was quite sort of scary because you sort of go there and you sort of actually run into people that you know through other circles, and suddenly start to realise, you know, anyway,
The links are not so broad.
And there's maybe some links that you don't really want to sort of have either. But no, sort of left New Zealand through work, but more a case of basically wanting to get out of Wellington.
So coming to Australia equated to a coming out for you? Or?
Not really. It was sort of, I sort of had the hots for somebody over there, and which was not going to actually happen. And I sort of had a few other attachments to a couple of people, and it was like a very confusing time in my life. Mm-hmm. And then basically a work opportunity came up, and I decided time for a change, and took it, and basically jumped the ditch, so to speak, and went to Canberra, and then sort of realised, what the hell have I done?
The job was in Canberra, or based in Canberra. That's what made you go there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There couldn't have been any other reason.
No, it was also doubling my salary sort of overnight was quite nice. sort of
compensation. I know, they pay people well to live in Canberra.
Yeah, they need to.
Exactly. Well, tell me about going to Sydney, because that would have been the big smoke for you too.
Yeah, it was quite good, because like basically going up to Sydney for weekends or whatever, and or going down the snow or going down the beach, anything to get out of Canberra most weekends. So.
And we're talking about Sydney, I guess, in its heyday.
Yeah, it was just basically a case of get out of Canberra, because there's nothing much there. It's just full of public servants, and the only thing exciting in Canberra was public service payday, and every man and his dog was out at the pubs getting drunk, so... Great place.
Adam, your move to Sydney was very much a spreading your wings.
Yes.
What
spreading my something.
Spreading more than your wings. Tell us about why you moved to Melbourne.
Mainly because of my now partner, Andrew. We met the week before I moved from Adelaide to Sydney. I had a dirty weekend away in Melbourne. And we met and we sort of kept in contact. And then I still wanted to spend a year at least in Sydney. And after that, he asked me to move down and I said I would.
So how long ago were you talking?
4 or 5 years ago now.
Oh. About 4.5 years.
Adam, that would put you at, what, 23? 24?
Yes, when we first met, he was exactly double my age. I was 24 and he was 48.
In fact, we sort of had a little conversation actually in Sydney at one stage, because I asked Adam if he had a problem with the age difference, and he sort of said, first straight off, basically, no, he didn't, and then sort of 5 minutes later came out with actually a fairly smart comment about, oh, you're exactly double my age, and then some reference
subtle,
to...
Subtle, isn't he?
Yeah, and then some reference to the Beatles, you know, but as in, I was around when the Beatles were popular.
Oh, right. I was trying to get the link. This brings us to, you know, part of the discussion tonight, age disparity in sexual relationships. And it's interesting to note that it has different meanings amongst different cultures. Historically, some cultures don't seem to have a problem. Other cultures are really anti a difference in age. And there is a, believe it or not, there is a societal norm that is half your age plus 7. Did you know that?
First I've heard of it.
I know. Wikipedia tells me everything, of course, and I wouldn't have known without it. But, yeah, you divide the oldest person's age by 2 and add 7 years, and apparently that's okay, whatever that means. But I've known you both for 3-4 years, individually at first, I might add, and then it wasn't till later that I knew that you were together, but I've never noticed you two to have an issue with it. In fact, how do you feel about it?
Well, we have an open relationship as well, so it makes it a lot easier. It never was an issue from the start, so you don't even realise half the time that there is an age difference.
I think it's very much a case of it can become an issue if you let it become an issue. Some people may have a problem with it, but for Adam and I don't think we do.
When you say some people might have a problem with it, have you found that? Have you had reactions from people that...
Only when they think I'm your son. And when you're out somewhere.
And how do you respond to that, Adam?
Sorry, Daddy.
But, look, it's... I think it's just really a case of when you meet somebody and you can relate to them, the age is really not of no consequence. You either relate well and get on well, or you don't. And whether there's 5 years difference or 20 years difference, it comes down to the two characters or personalities that are involved.
But when I introduced him to my parents, he was closer to their age than mine, was a bit awkward.
That was, yeah, scary as all hell going to their place and staying with the mother and father-in-law, so to speak.
Absolutely. Tell us about that experience.
Well, what was it when we went over to your mum and dad's the first time?
Andrew was rather nervous. I think at the age had quite a bit to do with that.
Of course. Cool.
And just sort of not understanding how they were going to sort of relate to me. But it actually was, you know, better than I could have expected. They're both wonderful people. They accepted me for the person I am, not how old I am. And I think they can see that Adam and I have a good relationship. We get on well. We share a lot of common interests, if you like, in our relationship.
Now, there are some fairly derogatory terms used to describe what is, I think, in its own instance, a derogatory term, age disparity. It just sounds wrong. Terms like jailbait, gold digger, cradle robber, cradle snatcher, chicken hawk, cougar is one that's in popular parlance at the moment. Have those terms ever been pitched at you guys in a derogatory sense?
Often. I like irritating people, so I just go with it.
Yeah, but you're a protagonist.
I wouldn't call him a protagonist. A provocateur is more like it.
Thank you.
No, I personally don't feel that we've had any sort of derogatory comments made about it. Most people that we're friends with and know us both well and accept us for the couple that we are.
We're talking to Andrew and Adam about their relationship and also about difference in age. You're on Hide and Seek. This is Joy 94.9. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
Well, let's talk about the open relationship.
Probably too open sometimes.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, you know what it's like when it's party season comes about. There can be a few too many men.
And so you're a bit of a dancer. I see you everywhere on the dance floor. You're a bit of a player, Andrew.
Player.
is that the term?
She's going red now.
And I will often bump into, I've got to be careful here, Adam, and say, where's Andy? And
it's, one guess.
Where do you think?
Or it's the other way
or
around.
Or it's the other way around. Does it ever create issues for you?
Not really. Sometimes when it's 3, 4, 5, 6 hours since I've seen husband crawled off in some dark room somewhere and I'm waiting to go home because the music stopped.
You are so going to get beaten.
I'll give you a hint, Andrew. When there's no thumping of the music, appear. Okay. It'll just make it easier.
I normally turn up before the music finishes. Thank you very much.
But it works for you, right?
It does. I mean, look, I think in any relationship, if you have an open relationship or a closed relationship, it's whatever suits the two people that are in that relationship. Yes, I play around and I enjoy it. And I think part of it's the fact that I'm 52.
Really young 52. Like, I've known you for 4 or 5 years now, I guess, sort of. And you're a young 52. I mean, I know other 52-year-olds that are 80.
Yeah. It doesn't change how I feel about Adam.
Do you think he helps to keep you young?
He does. Of course he does.
Hooray.
And sometimes I help keep him sort of on a straight...
Level-headed.
Level, if you like, rather than...
Where's the fun in thinking things through?
Oh.
Jump in the deep end, sink or swim.
That was your Sydney wee year.
Adam, do you think that you're able to jump in the deep end, sink or swim, because Andrew's there to catch you if need be?
Is it worth probably. Is it worth mentioning now that he can't swim?
Well, don't throw him in the deep end. But is there an element of personal responsibility that you're not taking on board by knowing that you'll be caught, for want of a better word?
Not really.
You just love life.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, when Adam and I met as well, like, it was sort of out of my sort of comfort zone, sort of keeping in touch with him or asking for his phone number or contact details, and then inviting him back to Melbourne for another weekend, which was sort of outside of the normal sort of thing that I would do. And then we sort of started developing a bit more than just sort of a casual romp, dirty weekend, what type thing. And at that stage, as Adam said, he basically had already decided he was moving to Sydney. And I was sort of realised enough that he was going to go to Sydney and had to go to Sydney. It was something that he'd been looking to do for some time. And if I tried to talk him out of going to Sydney, things might not have worked or might not have developed as they did. So we sort of did the 1 year back and forth, sort of keep in touch. I'd go up there, he'd come down every so often. No, because I think it suited us both at the time.
To have that learning phase, I guess.
We'd both just gotten out of pretty crappy relationships at the time. Okay. Well, mine was crappy.
We were both dealing with relationship breakup within like the last the 12 months before. So we both needed time on our own, if you like, to sort some things out.
Sure.
And it gave us then also the comfort to be able to sort of figure out whether we wanted to pursue a relationship as well.
Back with Adam and Andrew very shortly to talk a little further about their loves, their life, and what it is that gets them off. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek. This is Joy 94.9, and joining me in the studio tonight is Andrew and Adam. They've come in to have a chat about their relationship and their loves of life and the difference in their age, and we've found that doesn't mean much to them. Guys, we've had an SMS. Are there any rules in your open relationship? And because you have an open relationship, do you play safe? How do you want to answer that, Adam?
I think if you're having nameless, faceless, anonymous sex, it's most important to play safe. I think that should be a standard rule for anyone in a relationship, or not if you're out shagging for the hell of it. And with rules, not really many rules. We don't generally do things separately at home. We usually do that at circuit or...
Sponsored
bus. Or at the saunas.
Or at a venue, yeah.
Or at a venue. We don't do one-on-one at home so much, and we don't really do numbers a great deal. Like, if you have a good shag at a bar or at a sauna and they want to swap numbers, we generally don't, unless they have a 14-inch penis, then bend that rule at
tick
times.
Tick that box, right. Yeah. Andrew, what's your stance on rules in the relationship?
It's pretty much the same. I think the main thing is to basically be honest with each other. And as Adam says, it's not a case of if you had some incredible sex at a venue, it basically stays at the venue. You're not exactly... I'm not looking for another relationship. I've already found the relationship that I want to have. But occasionally it's nice to go out and sample some other venue or play around.
Yes.
Twinks are fun to shag, but you don't want to talk to them afterwards. I got him to talk to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's very much like that. And I think it's just a case of that's what works for us. Other people may have different ideas of what they are comfortable with.
How did you get to that, I guess, that state of being, the two of you? Or did it just grow?
It sort of developed that way. It's not something that we've consciously sort of worked on going that way. I think Adam probably has some other... I don't mean needs as such, but like for me, because of the age difference, it's sort of a little bit sort of perhaps maybe gratifying that I can still sort of pick up, so to speak. especially when I like the younger guys as well.
So. You're 52,
yeah.
And Adam, you're 28.
Hmm.
You find it appealing that you can still pick up younger guys?
Yeah, well, at 52, you start to sort of think, well, you know, yeah, maybe, you know, if you can't, well, you know, it's time to hang up the shoes, so to speak.
But if you can, do it. Is that the idea? Okay.
Yeah, partly.
Mm-hmm. Adam, have you always been attracted to older guys?
Pretty much, yeah, but I'm only 28, so being attracted to younger guys is not really...
Now, you both have a love of leather.
Yes.
Adam, I believe you were thrown in the deep end as far as leather was concerned. Tell us a little bit about about that.
Well, I might actually answer.
All right,
come on. It's probably a bit easier. When I actually met Adam, he wasn't into the leather scene at all. And when I knew he was moving to Sydney, I sort of said to him, "Oh, well, you know, have you been to Saks in Sydney?" And he didn't have a clue what I was talking about.
The leather store on Oxford Street.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I sort of said to him, well, you know, go and have a look. And he wouldn't go in. You know, he had to wait until I went up there on one of my trips. And then I took him into the store and showed him, you know, around Saks.
Adam, what did you think when you first walked into that leather store in Sydney?
It was great because I grew up in Adelaide, which doesn't have anything even close to that sort of atmosphere. And
were you scared or excited?
Excited.
Right. Okay.
And 3 days after I left Sydney, he had a job there.
Not bad. Not bad at all. He's a quick mover.
And so Adam's basically worked for Saks in Sydney for pretty well the full year that he was up there.
And you now, Adam, work at La Crucia de Sade, the sister store here.
Yes, that's correct.
So very much into the leather and fetish work scene.
And now I've seen you both in leather, and I can say to you at home, listener, that they both look very hot in leather. So it's stood you in good stead, I think, getting a job like that.
Clearly.
It was great. Everyone that worked there is really dysfunctional and loves sex.
Why is that great?
Because I'll fit in there. Dysfunctional people that like sex. I'm in.
Count me
in. An interview I can pass for once.
But you're also a lot of other things. I mean, you're a comedian in your own right. That is for sure.
Oh, I think he is. And being able to work in that environment and for Alan Dean Sachs, I think has been probably one of the best things for Adam, to bring him to develop his personality and his good points, if you like, because he's had some good people around him. He's also had some good opportunities to develop some into other areas, especially with like Circuit, and what the guys at Circuit are trying to do with their venue has been great.
What do you mean by that?
Boot club.
Boot club is an example.
And Adam working with the Lucretia de Sade sort of stand.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Adam basically works at Boot Club for L&D.
Yeah.
But as part of that, it's helped sort of develop other sides, if you like, to both Adam and myself, because Adam, for argument's sake, went to one boot club done up as a puppy. And
what was that like?
It was hilarious. It was brilliant. And it was sort of even made better because of the attitude, if you like, of everybody that was there. And I've never known, like, if you've got a dog and you go to the park, people will come up and talk to you. Well, you've got a dog at a venue in leather. Well,
everyone comes up
and
talks to you.
And they want to
pat. And gives you a pat and a little and they rub on your tummy.
And they want to pat the puppy, and, you know.
That's fantastic.
And it was.
I want a puppy up there.
And it was developed even further because Chris, the owner, one of the owners at Circuit, basically sort of commented to me, actually, while we're in the toilet, going to the toilet of all things, that if that puppy of mine pisses on his floor, he was going to bloody kill it. And I sort of said, oh, and I think he's pretty well house trained, but anyway,
he
I was
does gonna, get excitable.
I was going to ask whether he had a stainless steel bowl we can make him lap his bear out of all night. So, like 10 minutes later, Chris turns up with a rubber mat for the puppy to sit on, and a stainless steel bowl full of beer.
Hi, so, Mom, if you're listening.
So he had to laugh his beer out of a stainless steel bowl or not.
I love it.
So it's things like that that is, if you like, helps develop a relationship and experience new things for both of us. And it's been really, really good, hasn't it, dear?
We'll talk later.
We're talking to Andrew, who's 52, and Adam, who's 28, about their love life and relationship. You've also, Adam, been to just about every Beyond that I've ever been to, and you're always centre front on the dance floor, kicking your heels up. You like a good dance party?
Yeah, once a raver, always a raver.
Ah, is that the throwback? The old South Australian rave kids?
Well, that's the only thing to do in Adelaide is take pills and go to raves.
Not that we advocate drug use, of course, here on Joy. But we did tell you. We did tell you that. Andrew, what parties do you like to go to?
Really enjoy Beyond. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much for dancing from sort of like 11 at night.
He's a good dancer, though.
Oh, he's got the energy to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, I don't. so I tend to go and amuse myself doing other things.
Ah, right. Mm. And that's where we have the open relationship.
Yeah. But in the Beyond area, we both enjoy going to it. We've introduced a few friends to the Beyond parties as well. And Adam's the only one I've known that's actually been able to get away with wearing bright orange to a Beyond party.
Now, listener, I'll just tell you, Adam is famous for wearing a Guantanamo jumpsuit to Beyond's leather parties, and you can see him from the other side of Melbourne in this bright orange jumpsuit. It's quite a sight, but he carries it well. Carries it very well. I'm talking to Andrew and Adam. They're my guests here on Hide and Seek. We're talking about their relationship, their loves, their lives.
Hide and Seek. Let your love shine.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. And in the studio with me, Dean Beck, is Andrew, 52, and Adam, 28. They've been in a relationship for 4 or 5 years, guys? How long?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, we've been living together for 3.5 to 4 years, and we were seeing each other for a year before that.
And you've just got a new house, I believe.
Yep.
Congratulations. I've already found the local bait.
Yeah, that took Adam 2 days, I might add.
Isn't that like a homing
or
pigeon?
2 hours.
No, the council puts up, we used to type in public toilets, and the council puts a map up of all the public toilets in your area.
Oh,
and they tell you whether they're open 24 hours or whether they're daylight hours only. It's great.
Do they tell you whether they've got glory holes or not?
No, but I'm sure there's a few blog spots that you could add that information
into. We need
into.
To get a rating system going, don't you think? Because I think beats are fading out, sadly. They've been and gone. Everybody's sort of on the internet these days. Mm. So, Adam, tell me what you love most about Andrew.
Can I? His cock.
Right. Okay, well, you're honest. And what do you hate most about him? Well, not hate, but what pisses you off about him, I guess is a better way of putting it.
Not a great deal. It's why we're still together.
That's good. And Andrew, what do you love most about Adam?
I think probably the thing I love most about him is his personality. He's very...
You're meant to say my youthful good looks.
You are 28 now, dear. All right. But his personality is very vibrant out there, very much into things that I wouldn't necessarily even consider or look at. So that sort of gives me, if you like, a much more youthful outlook, if you like, on life. And we enjoy doing a lot of things together. And he sort of introduced and changed my way of looking at things quite considerably.
Sure, sure.
Mm.
What pisses you off about him?
How long have we got?
Sometimes, look, in any relationship, you know, there are going to be times where you get, you know, pissed off with each other, and but it never lasts with us. It's sort of, you know, we might get pissed off for a half an hour or an hour, but usually one or both of us is going to turn around and say, oh, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But it's just, sometimes I think it's just like being 28, you tend to sort of be a lot more reactive to things that aren't really important.
Me, overreact.
Oh, heaven forbid. So that's the main thing.
Guys, we've had an email come in through from a young 25-year-old listener. He wants to know if you've got any advice for him in regards to the leather and fetish scene. He's into leather uniforms and coveralls, but whilst he's been on a couple of mailing lists for various functions and venues, he wants to have a bit of encouragement. What words of advice would you give him?
Just keep an eye on what's happening in the community. MCV and Southern Star usually tell you about what's coming up.
It's difficult, though, for a young guy that feels attracted towards the leather scene to actually make that jump, though, sometimes.
But see, sometimes, like, I mean, I can remember the first time I went into the lead, for argument's sake.
Sure.
I went in with somebody else, I didn't go by myself, and I would have been in my late 30s, and that was fairly confronting. So I can imagine it would be quite confronting if you're only 25 and not part of that scene already. Best thing I could sort of suggest is, look, just come along to a boot club at Circuit. It's quite casual, if you like. You can come along in leather, or you can come along in jeans and a t-shirt. It doesn't really matter. There's no... It's not full-on or in-your-face or heavy-duty or anything. And it's a good way for somebody to sort of come along and experience it a bit and sort of then ease themselves into it if that's what they want.
Adam, you must get guys that come into the store for the first time and experience that for the first time. What are some of the reactions that you've had?
Usually shock. Usually going, oh, my God, I can't believe that's for that and... This is used for this.
And what's that for?
Adam's favourite thing is when some straight boy comes in because his girlfriend sent him in there for a cock ring. Uh-huh. And, of course, Adam likes to give them some personal customer service.
Oh, you do have to have them fitted, of course.
Yes. Would you like
do you
me
know
to show
how to put on a cock ring? Here, let me help. Another day at the office.
Oh, dear, you must have a tough life in there.
And some of the stories that Adam's come back with from work have been hilarious, to say the least.
Which we won't get into on air now.
No, we won't. But like, there was one, I think, one couple from Adelaide. Again, it was sort of like a fairly big age difference between the two of them. And the older one was buying a leather harness for the younger one. And the younger one would probably have been about 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's not uncommon, but it's just sort of getting to meet a wide range of people and couples and straight, gay, you know, bi, whatever. We've even had one ex prisoner or prison person in the shop at one stage, wasn't it, Adam? And he was sort of commenting about, you know, various things in the shop type thing. So it was quite amusing.
Adam, we've got a question from a listener wanting to know, what's so good about Andy's cock?
The size.
Right. Well, we've cleared that up, so that's good. Yeah, thank you very much.
Bigger every time you open your mouth.
Hey, guys, it's been an honour to have you in. Thank you very much for sharing and being so open about your relationship with us here on Hide and Seek this evening. I'm most thankful. It was short notice, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for joining
us. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hide and Seek.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. Circuit.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.